This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Layers Lair. My name is Spencer.
I'm Katie.
And we're talking about Dessert Week.
Dessert Week, episode 7.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Entertaining.
Yeah?
Yeah. Helps that we had like the worst technical I think I've ever seen on the show.
Absolute bollocks.
Yeah, just a train wreck.
Yep, for sure.
From top to bottom.
Made for some great TV.
I guess. Thoughts? Well, we have at least one fashion thing that we must address.
Oh, we have several fashion things we have to address
this
week.
Okay, well, let's start there.
Okay. Well, what you obviously have something in mind.
It was part of the scoring this week, and it is the cargo shorts.
This was a week of cargo shorts in some unexpected places.
So when I did that, first of all, mostly just thought it was funny. I thought there was like a 75% chance that Dan would wear cargo shorts.
75. Has there been an episode where he hasn't so far?
He might have worn pants once. I don't.
You're just saying like he's an adult man. Chances are not every single pant he wears is a cargo. Oh, I guess you said cargo shorts, not cargo pants. So he could have worn cargo pants and
sure
still like gotten the you didn't wear cargo shorts points.
I thought it was probable or likely that Dan would wear cargo shorts.
Yeah.
I thought there was basically a 0% chance that anyone else would. And I was wrong.
You were wrong.
And Maddie came into the tent with cargo shorts on this
Maddie.
Week, which I hate to dock him points for anything, but you got -5 right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, the way you structured it, it was +5 for everybody else.
Sure. But effectively,
yes.
-5.
Net -5 for our boy Maddie.
And, of course, Dan, because he wore cargo shorts, skate shoes, and a Hawaiian shirt buttoned all the way to the top.
Correct.
Like he was chaperoning a field trip to Warp Tour.
I was going to say he was chaperoning like a lock-in at a church that was beach themed.
Yeah, sure. Or like a school dance, maybe.
Oh, definitely. But it's a lock-in for sure, because you don't want to be in there with him. Yeah. He was also sporting his new haircut this week, and I think he was feeling himself, which is fine. Like, okay, guy, feel yourself.
I guess it's fine.
But come on, Dan, be better.
In theory, yes, it's fine to be feeling yourself. In practice, I hate it when it's Dan.
Okay, one thing I did notice this week, though, like Josh, I felt like he took a fashion risk for the first time since we've seen him. Maybe not a risk, but it was like
a
little flashier. He was wearing like an ombre palm patterned shirt. It was like a t-shirt, but it was ombre. It was like, you know, orange down here and then pinkish white up here.
Oh, yeah. He also had a sweater on at one point, though, which confused me.
That's true. That's true. They also gave him a very long underwear shot.
Twice.
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 I didn't catch
we
twice.
We got an
I
extended got shot of Josh's ass with his underwear sticking up over his shorts. Two times.
Two
his
times.
Bright blue underwear.
Josh's underwear. I really liked Allison's big spoon in her boobs.
Okay. Where was that?
It was in her dress. It was like
I know, but that was like a ladle.
I know, but like I mean, that's the way dresses fit. You can just like stuff things in there. I don't go around with
ladles
in my dress.
I'll take your word
but
for it. But That was impressive.
There's a lot of capacity in there also, like for Allison. So
Sure.
Yeah. And then do you want to take any guesses at what Noel's butterfly shirt goes for?
In terms of cost?
Mm-hmm.
Is it currently available?
It is currently available.
$6.49, Bob.
Okay. So I think, thank you for that nod to the fact that we watch a lot of The Price is Right, the Barker era. In our house these
I can't
days.
Endorse it, but also, yes, we have been watching a lot of it. I wouldn't recommend watching a lot of it.
No, can't
sanction
that.
But that is a thing
that.
We've been doing.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the shirt, like the original manufacturer's price is $795, but if you're a medium, you can get it for $318. If you're a triple XL, you're paying $914 now because there's only one left.
What site are you looking at?
Farfetch.com.
Oh, okay. Well, so that just sources, that's like a retail aggregator.
Okay. Well, it was the first link that Google gave me, so I clicked on it.
Okay.
But one thing I do want to highlight is that it comes with, or like there's an option to buy matching shorts.
Oh, with a long sleeve shirt.
With that's a long sleeve shirt. Yeah. So it's like a print that has like grass on the bottom. And then you can buy that also in a short.
Who makes it?
Namias. Mm. It is a like LA skatewear brand.
All right.
Yeah. Perfect for going to an overnight skate themed birthday party. Lock in.
None of those things are. It was not a birthday party. It was not skate themed. What are you talking about?
What? I'm just making Dan jokes. Sorry.
I know, but neither of those are things that we should.
It's fine. It's fine. Okay. It's fine.
I got the, in spirit, you were on the right track.
Okay. did you pick up on any vocab this week?
I had two.
Okay.
I think I can probably infer what both of them mean, but Dan just said donkey at one point.
Donkey! Like in Shrek?
Yeah. Except just like as a curse,
oh,
I guess.
Donkey.
There was nothing. It was just the word donkey.
Donkey.
I mean, kind of, because he has his, I don't know what accent.
A
Shrek,
Mike Myers accent.
Yeah, Scottish, I guess, in the movies. I don't know what Shrek is supposed to be.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that's just like a general proclamation of
nuts.
Yeah, exactly. and then Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just like a variation on bonnet or what's going on there?
So think back, oh, let's see, 4 weeks, because this came up in episode 3.
Did it?
No. It sure did. To be fair, I also wrote it down, but then I used the search function in my notes to find this from
week
3.
Well, see, if I had notes, that would be maybe something I could do.
it's a Cockney slang term for hair. Barnett Fair rhymes with hair.
We did do this because I was annoyed by how stupid it was. So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, yeah, okay. That's cool. No big deal. Did you catch Conker?
No.
So it was like in Noel's jokes about Paul retelling a scene from his childhood. He's like, Conker in one hand, C-O-N-K-E-R. Conkers are round brown nuts, which come from horse chestnut trees. Conkers is a children's game in which you tie a conker to a piece of string and try to break your opponent's conker by hitting their conker as hard as you can with your own conker.
You smash your nuts together?
You smash nuts together. Okay. On a string. You string up your nuts and smash them together.
Great. Classic children's game.
Classic. Last one. So maybe you inferred what this is, but when we were watching this the first time, you were like, what is a ramekin? And I said, I will tell you during vocab.
All right. Well, tell me.
Did you get what it was?
Nope. I forgot I even asked that.
It's the little like individual, I mean, the little molds they used for their little custard boys.
Yeah.
Those are ramekins. They're like the ceramic, usually cylindrical little, little things.
Sorry.
All right.
Those headphones are just bugging the hell out of me. So they're gone.
Gone.
Donkey
headphones.
Yeah. Ass.
Signature. Creme caramels.
Caramel. It's always trouble.
You're always going to mess somebody up with it.
I love that it was another opportunity for Maddie to just Mr. Magoo his way through 1 week closer to the final.
But like, he turned out okay.
That's what I'm saying. He's always just like
Mr. Magoo,
bumbling and stumbling his way to being safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay, couple, let's just stick on Maddie for a bit. So yeah,
I love it.
When he was pouring his milk out, you were like recoiling.
Okay. So it's probably 5 or so minutes into the episode when they all start working on the signature and they have to make a custard. So they're pouring milk into a saucepan, mm-hmm. and his comes out in like big chunks.
And it was before they explained.
Yeah, before they went and talked to him, and he said that he's using coconut milk, and it's just in like an unlabeled glass bottle.
It's so gross. Like, because they put it in, it's like a milk bottle. Like, yeah, the exactly. milk gets delivered in the 50s.
Yes.
Yes.
Or I assume like it still does in the UK.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I think they make everything look olden time. Yes.
I think they just have to have unbranded things.
Unbranded things, yes.
Yeah. Turns out it was coconut milk, which I guess that's okay for coconut milk.
There's a lot of just solids like in coconut
solids
milk.
In coconut milk?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Totally.
I don't cook with it very often.
I know.
Don't cook very often.
I know.
Don't really know things.
That's not fair. Be nicer to yourself.
Yeah, so that was a relief that he was not serving the world's most expired milk.
Yeah, that was
in his custard.
That was gross. Also, like, it's very clear that he's not a maths teacher because he's like doing 12 instead of 8, and they spent a long time talking to him about that. But then they look around and like many people are making 12.
Also, you know, not maybe the worst idea for him to make a couple extra of the things that he makes. 50% like error rate.
Yep. I mean, that's
probably seems, or I guess 30, whatever. Making 50% more of what you.
Yes. 50% contingency.
Sure. Also not a maths teacher.
One other thing that I sort of didn't like was that they like grilled him about why he was using chai flavors.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
I did.
That was weird.
No one asked what the fuck Dan was doing with his weird flavors.
Why are you making Thai flavors, Dan? Nobody asked him that. But they asked Maddie, like, what's the deal? Why are you making chai? Because they're only used to South Asian folks doing that, apparently.
Except every year on the show, there's a white person who is like, I went to Thailand once and now I know everything about Thai cooking and I'm going to teach the other white people in this fucking tent about it. Yeah, I thought that was weird. But also, like, I don't know. Maybe they ask questions like that more often and they get less interesting responses.
Less cute responses.
I think the fact that he was like, duh, I don't know. Maybe I don't even like it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, that adds a bit of drama to be like, oh, Maddie Magoo making another goofy bake over
there.
We'll
see what happens.
I also, speaking of Dan.
Yeah, let's go back to Dan. Sure.
He said, quote, I wouldn't take a risk unless it was worth taking.
He said that while wearing a fully buttoned up Hawaiian shirt. P.S.
Just, that's not a risk. That's just a bad decision. But like, you have no business saying that after that fucking pizza debacle. I'm going to bring it up at least once a week. Never forget the pizza debacle of week 3. Okay. Was that a risk worth taking, Dan?
No.
Was that well calculated,
no,
you goof
it wasn't.
Ass?
It was not. Was not. Zero question about it.
Fucking dumb.
Although apparently any risk he takes, it doesn't actually matter because they just still love him. I mean, one of his like completely collapsed.
Yeah.
And they still thought it was nearly perfect.
And the ones that didn't, they said were underbaked.
Yeah. What is our dog doing?
He's pawing at a pair of pants.
Okay, that's fine. He's fine.
Okay, so Dan's was fine, except he had one fully collapse.
Yep.
And they said the rest were underbaked.
Yep.
Just we'll compare Dan and Josh throughout the three.
I know.
Josh's were, quote, very pretty. The flavors were good, but a bit overbaked.
A bit overbaked. He turned out 8 for 8. That looked good, looked beautiful. They said there was finesse there. And then good flavors, looked good, a bit overbaked.
Which to me is at least as good, if not better, than Dan's review.
Yeah. Yep. Also, Josh is adorable again because he made yet another Nan-inspired fake.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it wasn't, I feel like they played it up more than Saku saying she calls her mom every morning before she goes to the tent.
Oh my gosh, you're right. I almost missed that.
They skated right past that adorable aside from Saku.
Okay, I do love that we got to see a picture of Saku's mom before she got booted from the show.
Just posing in front of a tree.
Just posing, smileless in front of a tree.
Yeah, at the finals, like, second round of home interviews for Saku would have really been a treat.
Oh,
alas. Well,
I just love that on Tasha's Instagram, it's clear that those two are buds, because Tasha's going to go over and, quote, taste test some things at Saku's house.
I missed that. I did see Saku and Nikki taking a day trip to some cake competition together, though, and posting a photo of their two Starbucks cups with their names on them next to each other.
I'm sorry, you missed the most important part. Where were they with those Starbucks cups?
On a train?
They were on a train!
Why is that the most?
Because it's adorable and they were on a train together.
That's okay. How you get places in Europe.
I know. Let me have my train moment.
Okay.
Speaking of Saku, like, you know she's going to be done because they're like, too many eggs and it will set too firm. Cut to Saku saying, 8 whole eggs.
Okay, though. Yes, clearly that was how they were setting it up. Christy was every bit as bad as she was this week.
Yeah. Overbaked and bubbly like scrambled eggs.
They told her the texture was all wrong and the flavors were off for Christy.
But maybe Paul still liked it because it was orange and solid like him.
Sure. And then she got Prue with the bright colors on the showstopper.
Exactly.
And Saku's, the first thing they said was that they were so pretty. And then they said that they were too thick, but the flavors were okay.
Yeah. But they were way too thick. Like, they got the wrong texture.
They had no good things to say about Christy's signature.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
And everyone was equally awful in the technical, except Tasha's the only one that they actually even tasted.
Yeah.
They got 5 inedible things. So, like, I don't think we can really differentiate there.
Okay. Anything to say about Tash and the signature?
Her flavor is lacking direction.
Lacking direction. Yikes.
Whatever that means.
Usually she nails the flavors, so.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. She's going to be in the final.
She is going to be in the final. I'm confident about that.
She and Josh are locks.
I think so. Yeah. I just don't want Dan to be. And I think Christy can be.
I would be very surprised if it's not Tasha, Josh, and Dan.
I know.
At this point.
Same.
Paul's Dan exceptionalism will get him there no matter what he does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other two are, like, clearly better than Maddie and Christy at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, to be fair, Dan is too.
But. Yeah, yeah. Did you want to go look at YouTube videos of people suctioning up a creme caramel?
Absolutely not.
Cool,
that
me neither.
Horrible.
Let's keep going. Okay. should we move on to the technical?
Yeah.
Speaking of people sucking things through a straw.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, liquidy. It was liquidy. Mm-hmm. That was the.
Yeah, it was.
That's the direction.
Gross.
That was disgusting. Treacle puddings are just kind of gross to start.
Yeah, I don't really care for any of these custardy, like, borderline liquidy, wobbly bits.
I know. You're not a fan. You're not a fan.
I'm a fan of wobbly bits. Let me take that back.
Yeah.
But yeah, when they're just like cups of goo, gross.
Mr. Magoo and his cups of goo came in 6th because he also had burnt caramel.
So I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago that I posed the question, if you were just trying to get the most, like, the biggest post-bake-off boost out of bake-off, how would you approach it?
Yes.
And I think aligning your desserts in the shape of a dick might be somewhere on that list.
Okay, so it was Tosh that actually did that, right?
Yes.
Who was it?
But Jan, a couple years ago, did it also.
She did?
Yeah. Or.
Oh.
Because they put something on their Instagram, the Bake Off did this week, about like a callback to, it was Jan and I forget the other woman's name. But they've had a dickish presentation the past.
I wrote down penile presentation in my notes.
That's much better, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
a phallic arrangement.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. She's 27.
You, Tosh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, she knew what she was doing.
Oh, she totally knew what she was doing. But she also, like, I think couldn't move that one because it was, like, splodgy. Oh, gosh. Okay. The one at the end. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
just... Not sure why splodgy is a word in your regular vocabulary anyway.
It's just in my Bake Off recap vocabulary. Mm.
Is it a word?
I don't know. That's fine. We don't need to learn. Stodgy? Stodgy. It's the opposite. Stodgy is what those Costco donuts were that we got this morning.
Oh, you want to do a quick review?
Let's do a quick review. I won't go get to because, like, I honestly don't want to eat another one of those.
The Costco Stan's apple cider donuts.
Not great.
No.
No. Quite bad.
A bit stodgy.
Very stodgy.
Also some apple like pieces in there.
They're which a little is surprising.
Surprising, like wet, chewy texture.
On a shelf stable baked good that you buy at Costco. I mean, you could say that it was our mistake buying those.
Sure. My expectations were low and I was disappointed.
I was fairly disappointed. Yeah. I was also like, really hungry when we were shopping
there.
I've
eaten plenty of grocery store donuts before. And they're usually fine. Somewhere between fine and like, well, pretty good.
Yeah. Like the floor for a donut is pretty high.
It's hard to be disappointed by a donut.
Correct. Correct. This was, and now yet, we have 10 of them in our
and
kitchen.
Yet here we are. Yeah. I'll bring them to work tomorrow.
All right. Well, that ends our Costco baked goods review segment.
Yeah.
Back to the technical.
Don't bother.
Don't bother.
Buy a box of the Stroop waffles.
Ooh, yeah, those were good. okay, so speaking of things to buy, I might have just ordered some stem ginger from BritishFoodDepot.com.
Okay, so what is that compared to regular ginger?
So it's like, it's ginger, but it's like cooked in syrup. It's just fresh ginger that's been preserved in sugar syrup.
Oh, why do they call it stem?
I don't know. But that's like... It's a very common UK thing, and it's not really sold in the US, so you have to buy it from the internet.
I mean, couldn't you just buy a thing of ginger, put it in a jar with some syrup?
Then I'd have to, like, make that, and this is a...
Isn't it just tossing a couple things in a, like, a canning jar?
And... Well, yeah, but you're, like, boiling it and making a syrup. You know, like, what happened to Maddie this week? He really screwed up his caramel. He couldn't get it to boil. So, like, there's some stuff involved in getting to that point. So,
are you pickling it in caramel?
Sort of. I mean, like, same sort of principle, but sugar instead of vinegar.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, it's like, you know, you preserve fruit into jam. It's similar to that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Preserves, if you will.
If you will. Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So,
back to the technical. Okay, I think, hot take for the week, I think they should have, practically this probably wouldn't have worked because timing and a million other reasons. I would have loved to see them just do a full redo.
Oh. Huh.
Everyone fucked up in like the same way.
They sure did, because Paul did not give them enough time.
Yeah, or just they didn't know. Like, you wouldn't know unless you've done it before, and none of them had done it before.
Yeah.
They all fucked up by underbaking it.
Yep.
It wasn't that. It was like an hour and a half, right?
It was 90 minutes, and they needed to have 40 of them be in the oven.
40?
Paul said, like, 40 minutes in the oven.
Oh,
minimum.
Oh.
And they all did, like, 20, 25?
Yes, 40, them being minutes, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have loved to see them be like, we can't eat any of these.
Yeah.
Go do it again. You all made basically the same mistake. Try again and like serve us something edible.
That would have been fun to see.
Yeah.
I mean,
I understand why you can't because you got a production schedule and whatnot.
Yeah. Instead, they basically threw out the technical.
Yeah. Which
they whacked it in the bin, which they sort of do every week.
I was going to say, not unlike every other week.
Yeah.
Prue said, quote, I guess we have to ignore the technical.
Yes.
Oh, dang.
Shucks. Oops. We'll just have to put Dan at the top. Okay.
Also, for some reason, Paul saying, consider yourself roasted, really bothered me.
Really? Why?
I don't know. Like,
bam, consider yourself roasted.
Yeah, like Paul hit him with the boom, roasted. Like he's a seventh grade boy.
Is he trying to make that a thing?
I mean, that was a thing like 5 to 10 years ago.
Consider yourselves roasted.
Also, you're not roasting them. They know that they made something like, shitty.
You didn't do that to them. They did that to them.
Yeah, a roast is like, I don't think he understands what a roast is.
Oh. Tell Paul he doesn't know how to roast something.
Well, like, he wasn't roasting them.
No.
There was no creativity. There was no, like, he just pointed out that they fucked up, and they all knew that they fucked
up. Again, is this shocking coming from Paul Hollywood?
No, it just bothered. Like, he was so proud of himself for being like, you guys made shitty bakes.
And then he went, like, folded his arms and made a little pose.
Yeah, we know. I poured something onto a plate, Paul. I didn't think it was good.
Oh, Paul Hollywood.
Anyway.
Speaking of, it really irritated me when they introduced the showstopper and Prue was like, we can't have Mr. Hollywood disappointed again because he'll get angry. Like, can we stop managing that man's feelings? Please, please.
If somebody said that, if somebody I knew said that about somebody, I would be like,
are you in a healthy relationship?
Yeah,
like, are you safe?
Yeah.
Do we need to talk?
That would be concerning.
Exactly. Yes. It's not, it's just not funny.
I don't know. Whatever. They're not really supposed to be funny, I guess, but it bothers me when they then try.
True. So 4 hours, making a dessert encased in a bomb.
Yeah, you got to make a globular dessert.
Globular. Gross.
Well.
You said splodgy was gross. Globular is.
Both can be gross.
That's true. That's true. Where do you want to start?
I want to start by comparing Josh and Dan.
I like that game. Okay. That's where I started, too.
Okay.
So let's talk about Dan's big pie fingers making a weird, ugly globe.
They said it had a nice shape and it was ambitious and clever and that it works together lovely.
Yeah.
All positives.
I got the sense that the thing that really stood out about his was that everyone else had an air gap between their meringue and their dessert in the middle. His was actually built into the meringue, and he still managed to make it work.
On the bottom
half.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure. To contrast, they describe Josh's as original, beautifully done, a little triumph, and delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which to me reads equally positively, if not slightly more. A triumph is Prue's highest praise.
It really is. Yeah. Especially now since she doesn't say as much like I could eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And Paul doesn't flat out call things delicious very often.
No, it's true. You're right.
It's almost always couched in like, actually, that's quite good.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, I thought like from the camera angle, it seemed like Josh's was way more impressive on sight than Dan's.
I'm always wrong about that compared to the judge's impression.
I guess.
Not wrong. I always perceive that differently than the judges seem to perceive it in terms of like what looks or doesn't look good on camera versus in person.
Josh's was just so neat and like so much detail and finesse. Yeah. Again, he had finesse. Dan does not have finesse. His looks, again, like a sort of like a middle school art project, even if the concept was cool.
If I had to guess, because they did say that it was very close between those two for Starbaker. If I had to guess, they decided that they were equal in the signature and the showstopper. And Dan's technical was slightly less of a disaster.
It was almost edible.
Because he finished second.
Mm-hmm. So they actually made the technical count for something.
Well, that would be my guess. Because otherwise, I don't see how, if you're truly throwing out the technical, I don't see how Dan was better than Josh this week in terms of their own descriptions of the two bakes.
Yeah. Okay, so Josh got robbed.
Eh. Obviously, I'm biased.
I know.
I don't know. Robbed might be a little strong. I think there was a very strong case to be made for Josh this week.
Yeah, I think you're right. I totally agree.
And again, I think there was a very strong case to be made for Christy as well.
Okay, so let's go down to the bottom.
Yeah, so Saku they really didn't have much of anything positive to say about it. They said it was not much of a bomb, just a few shoe buns on a stand.
So I looked at how many shoe buns she had in on her tray when they came by to talk to her. She had like 40 out there. And she ended up putting something like 10?
I think she ran out of time.
Is that what happened?
To fill and decorate them.
Okay. Okay. That makes some sense. I didn't catch that.
She was like, too busy making jokes about their little bum holes or whatever.
Their little bum holes and her son being a pain in the bottom like a bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bee is not a pain in the butt. A bee is a pain from the butt.
What? A bee is... Okay. Wow. You're taking this in a lot of directions. Uh-huh. Okay. Sorry. I mean, as soon as she cracked that base, you knew it was over. But even without that, it was underwhelming on many, many counts.
Yeah. Christie's, like, they hated that one, too, though, except Prue liked the bright colors. But they said
it did look really impressive.
They said it was a mess inside. It was too sweet. And, quote, you've let yourself down a lot.
It was just a big pile of shoe buns soaked in filling and icing.
That didn't even taste good.
No.
You've let yourself down a lot is about as harsh as they get.
It's like, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. Yeah.
Paul's everyone's dad or whatever the fuck the dynamic of this show is.
I was so excited to see a croque en bouche too. Like, I love seeing that on this show. It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it was a piss poor display.
Piss poor.
I don't know. They were both pretty bad in the showstopper. I think they were tougher on Christie's signature.
Yeah.
They had nothing positive to say about her signature, and they at least had, like, they at least said Saku's looked nice.
Yeah. But
and again, if we're tossing out the technical.
Christie's never been at the bottom. I mean, like, she's never been in danger of going home any of the weeks.
I mean, I think this is really my beef here is that it's clearly not.
Oh, wait. She was in danger of going home 1 week. Yeah. Sorry.
It's clearly, they clearly take past performance into account when it's close.
Yeah.
And they clearly weight the showstopper more heavily than the other two.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Which is fine. But like, just after 14 years of doing this show, just like say that.
I mean, they do say that. Like, it was good to see Dan come back. It was good to see Josh come back. It was good to see this. She's really been struggling.
They imply it.
Yeah. They never show us what's in the black box of judging, which, you
it's
know.
It's true. There's not like a rubric or anything.
No.
If I were a competitor, I would be annoyed by that.
Okay. Yeah.
And as a viewer, I am still also sometimes annoyed by
that. Yeah. I mean, also when it results in Saku going home.
Yeah. Saku
She's
over
just a
Christie
joy.
Is just like, you're trading the most fun personality on the show for the total lack of personality that is Christie.
It's true.
I mean, we're 8 weeks in and like, she's said 10 sentences still.
And most of them are, Noel, please leave me alone.
Yeah, it's she's giving a one-word answer to a direct mm-hmm. question. Or she's, like, refusing to play along, but they have to show her at some point in the show.
Yeah.
Or she's, like, nodding in response to judge. Like, she just, she gives you nothing on screen.
Maybe she gives you a good bake in person.
I'm sure she does, but just for entertainment value, like,
so
that's
you're saying
a huge
it's a
drop-off.
Casting error.
No, I'm just saying I have more fun watching Saku than I do watching Christie.
For sure, for sure.
And it sucks to lose a really fun personality and keep a very bland personality.
Absolutely. I would love to see like a Saku web series in the future or, you know, have her be a guest presenter or something. Yeah. She is a gift to the franchise.
She would thrive in more low stakes settings too, where she could goof
Absolutely.
Off more and like Yeah.
Just be cute and then uh-huh. like play cricket with lemons that Noel throws
like,
at her.
She plays along. She's funny. Yeah. She like has weird expressions and is like emotive and.
Oh, yeah. She's very fun. I mean, I don't want to like hate on Christie because she is clearly like she is not cut out to be in the spotlight, it seems.
Yes.
But then it's a weird.
It's not her fault.
It's a weird decision to do this. And then it's a like. You know, it's a
I think it's a
large
great decision to do it and to push yourself. It just doesn't make for very good TV.
Sure doesn't. No.
Anywho.
At least nobody answered Dan's call when he called home after he won.
Okay. I have a thought about that, or an observation about that. It rang once and then went to voicemail.
So somebody was like, mm-mm. It was his
wife.
Thank you.
He was calling his wife.
Also,
his wife sent him to voicemail.
Maybe some of our listeners in the UK can tell us whether that ring pattern is a standard.
Yeah, I guess I assumed that was a device specific thing, but maybe not.
Might be service specific.
Might be a carrier thing.
Yep. Anyway, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, just like Paul always does.
My headcanon is that his wife sent him straight to voicemail.
All right, should we move on to the league?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so unsurprisingly, our listeners have gone for Tasha, Dan, Josh as their top picks. Christy, Saku, and Maddie are down at the bottom. So definitely got some clear favorites in the field. The best combo this week, when we moved to the tiered scoring, is would have been Dan, Tasha, then Josh. Nobody picked that, but lots of combinations of those. So obviously we didn't have any helper points awarded this week. Kind of a bummer. Everybody's very busy with their own stuff. And then we had cargo shorts to everybody except Maddie and Dan.
And Maddie also had to restart his caramel twice.
Oh, he restarted caramel twice, and he got -6 points for that. So,
dang it, Maddie.
Yeah. The bonus question that you set for us was whether Noel's shirt would have buttons. It did.
Several.
Good job.
Thank you. Hey, look.
Week seven, guys.
I'm out of ideas.
Maybe that's our bonus question this week, is give us a bonus question for next week, and we'll pick the one and give somebody like 25 points if we like it a lot. I like this. Let's do that.
One person is getting the bonus question for next week?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Or maybe like I'll pick two and we'll use them for the rest of the season. I don't know. It's going to be totally, completely subjective, whatever it is.
No, we have 3 weeks left, right? Because there are five people, so it would be five, four, three is the
semi,
final.
And then final. Yeah. So we need to ask this question and then pick two bonus questions.
Oh, right.
So top two bonus questions I like the most are each going to get 25 points. 20,
all right, sure.
Okay.
It works for me. So there's functionally no bonus question this week. You will be awarded points in the following weeks.
No. Well, huh? Okay. Everybody but two people will not have a bonus question allotment this week. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
But for the two that you pick, are those, is it 25 points?
No. Awarded for in this week 8. Yes.
Okay.
And then I will use their questions in week 9 and week 10.
Now I'm following.
Okay. Cool.
works for me.
Crowdsourced content generation is the name of the game.
Look. We are doing this for free.
Yeah, for sure. So down at the bottom, we have with positive 12.5 points, we have Jeannie.
The multiplier gets us to half points.
Yes, multiplier.
Got it.
In second to last place, we have Claire with 14 points. And then in last place, I did this in reverse order. Oops.
Yeah, whatever. 12.5 was last place. 14 was second to last.
And then Nicole N is third to last with 16.5 points.
So we had no one in negatives this week.
No.
Good job, team.
Yay.
I guess we're multiplying. Well, no, because if you multiply negatives, that's bigger negatives. So
that's true.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah. Okay, so on top, in fourth place, we have Nick B with 45 points. Tied for second, we have Rebecca and Chetta G with 47.5 points. And coming out on top, we have Matilda with 52.5 points. So congratulations to you all. All right, next week.
Do we have, I'm going to put you slightly on the spot. Do we have a season-long tally at all?
No, but we will.
Okay.
Next week.
Oh, for next week?
We will next week, okay. Yes. We have it. I don't have it ready on the spot.
I feel like this week or this year, as opposed to the two previous years, I feel like I've been hearing more repeat names week to week.
Oh, more people are hanging out with us.
I feel like we had more people like dropping in here and there in the past.
Yeah.
Seems like it's a pretty consistent group so far this season.
Group.
So I'm curious to see what our season-long standings look like.
All right. Well, let me know when you have your pivot table ready for next week.
I told you. I already told you. The week you were gone, I spent about 30 minutes watching pivot table YouTube videos and then ended up scoring that shit by hand because I couldn't figure it out. So
excellent.
This is 100% on you. I'm just making a request.
Okay. I will do that. I will absolutely do that. For next week, it'll be party week.
Yeah. Do we know what that means?
I think it means it's a far reaching theme.
Because on social media, they're talking about it being crazy hot for chocolate.
Oh, weird. Okay. I don't know.
So I thought it was chocolate week, but then the schedule says party week, and I don't know what that means.
I saw a sleigh. I saw a bunch of like weird, huge displays.
Is it like holiday? Like
I think it's whatever kind of party celebration. Let's find out.
Okay.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.